Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a wonderful way to begin our program today, a song about being redeemed by greater vision. So thankful that we can know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Hope you'll enjoy the remaining part of the sermon, So Great Salvation. And in the sermon, I will be telling perhaps one of the greatest redemption stories I've ever had the privilege of sharing in the context of a sermon. A story that I read about that Dr. John R. Church told in one of his books. A great Methodist evangelist of years past. It was my privilege to know him personally, and I know you'll enjoy the story as I share it today on the program. And then next week and the following week, I'm going to be featuring a sermon by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, and I hope that'll be a blessing. And in that it is a five-Sunday weekend, we do need your help to keep us on your radio station. So would you take just a few minutes to write us a letter of support? You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and give through the PayPal or Venmo tab there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience, and I pray that the program will be a blessing to those listening today, especially those who are sick, shut in, and maybe this program is the only church they'll have this weekend. So I pray that you would touch those who are physically ill, those who are spiritually sick. May the message and the music be a blessing to them today. Continue to be with us as we share in revival services throughout this month as well as the months to come. I ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this weekend, April the 16th, I'm in West Liberty, Ohio at the Church of God. And then April 23 to 26, Murfreesboro, Illinois at the Church of the Nazarene. If you listen to us on WEBQ out of Harrisburg, Illinois, that's not too far away. I hope you'll make plans to join us for at least one of the services at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro, Illinois. And then, of course, our slate goes on throughout the year, and we'll share that with you in other programs in the weeks and months to come. Thanks so much for listening to us today, and I do hope the program is a blessing to you and that you will take a few minutes to write to us. Again, the address, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much for doing that.
Down from the Father above. we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, there are many things that I could list tonight that would identify why this salvation is so great. There are two that I want to touch on tonight in closing. And I would tell you tonight, the reason this salvation is so great and demands our attention and causes us not to neglect it and to understand there is no escape outside this great salvation, the first reason is this. It's great because of the cost involved to bring it to you and to me. God didn't see how cheaply he could get by when it came to purchasing your redemption. He paid the highest price. He didn't go to some religious bargain counter and try and dicker for your redemption, trying to find a sale on salvation. He paid the highest price that could ever be paid, and that was his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why it's great and worthy of your attention. The second thing, and finally, this salvation is great because of what it is capable of doing for you. This salvation, this total salvation, can justify, it can purify, it can take care of the sin problem totally in your life. Hemingway, South Carolina. I was again the youth evangelist. The evangelist was Dr. John R. Church. Dr. John R. Church is listed in the annals of Methodism as one of the 50 greatest evangelists in all of the history of the Methodist Church. He was chairman of the board emeritus of John Wesley Bible College, where I attended. So I was enamored. I was overwhelmed with the whole idea that I'm going to get to be a co-worker with the great Dr. John R. Church. He and my father were teamed in camp meetings all over the Midwestern part of the United States. He was a great man, a humble man, a great force in the Methodist Church. He tells a story, and I share it in closing. Dr. Church said the very first church that he had, that he pastored, was the Shoals Creek Methodist Church in Western North Carolina. He said he arrived there, and upon his arrival there, after he got settled into the parsonage with his wife and children, he said one of the stewards of the church came by one day and said, "Dr. Church, I have come to show you around your parish and show you where your churches are located." It was a four-point charge. And he said, "I'm going to show you where your churches are located and show you where some of your more prominent members live." And so he said, "I got on my horse," this is a long time ago, "got on my horse," and he said, "we began to ride around the community," and he would point out this church and tell me the name, and that church and tell me the name, and who lived at that house, and who lived at that house, and give me their names. He said, "I was trying my best to remember these people and these locations." He said, toward the middle of the afternoon, we were on our way back to the parsonage, and he said, he pulled his horse to a halt and stopped at a little spur trail that went off the side of the main road and went up the side of a mountain. And he said, "Now, Dr. Church, I want to take just a few minutes to warn you. You don't want to go up that trail right there. If you'll notice, that trail leads up the side of the mountain. Can you see up the side of the mountain there, Dr. Church? You see that little clearing up there? You can just kind of see a cabin up there, and you can see the smoke curling out of the chimney." And Dr. Church said, "Yeah, I see that." He said, "Now, Dr. Church, I just need to warn you, don't go up there. You don't want to go up that trail and visit those people that live in that cabin. The man that lives up there is known as Old Man George. He's been in the federal penitentiary several times, and the people around here know that if you come onto his property, he's liable to shoot you at the drop of a hat. So I would just advise you, don't go up there." And Dr. Church said, "I made a mental note of that." And he said, "I went on home that evening," and he said, "as we sat down for the supper meal," he said, "I bowed my head as my wife prayed over the supper meal." And he said, "the phrase, Old Man George, just kept echoing in my mind." And he said, "so as my wife was praying, I prayed for Old Man George. Never knew the man, probably would never meet him," he said, "I thought." He said, "but I couldn't get him out of my mind." He said, "that night as we had family altar and we prayed and read the Bible together. He said, during our prayer time, he said, I didn't want to tell the family about old man George because I didn't want to alarm them. So he said, in my own private time of praying, he said, I prayed for old man George. And I said, Lord, if you could see your way, help me to be able to make contact with this man. And maybe we can introduce him to the Lord and to the church. And just, and he said, Lord, I don't know him, but you know him and you can help this happen. And he said, I just prayed for the man. He said, the next morning I got up and I looked at my wife. He said, I think I'm going to go out and just kind of visit in the community and get to know my parishioners. He said, she fixed me a lunch and I went out and saddled my horse. And he said, I turned out of the yard and I started down the road. And he said, it was almost as though my horse had a mind of its own. He said, he just started right back up the road toward that little spur trail that I'd been told to avoid. He said, that horse just kept going toward that little spur trail. He said, I just relaxed the reins and gave him his lead. And he said, he went right up that spur trail and started walking up the side of that mountain. It got so steep that he couldn't carry me without me falling off. He said, I finally got off, led him up the rest of that little trail up to the edge of the clearing of where old man George lived. He said, I tied my horse to the tree, took the saddle off, and put it in some bushes off to the side. And he said, and I walked up to the side of that cabin, and there was an old woman, he said, sitting on the porch, quilting. He said, I walked around from the side of the cabin to where she was and startled her when I said, good morning. He said, she turned around and said, who are you? He said, I'm Brother Church. I'm the new pastor of the Shoals Creek Methodist Church. I've come up here to pay you folks a visit. Is your husband around? Well, he's down there planting in that new ground. He said, I turned around and looked and saw a giant of a man. He said, I thanked her and I walked down the side of that little hill there and came up to where he was and said, morning, sir. He turned and said, who are you? He said, my name's Church. I'm the new pastor of the Shoals Creek Methodist Church. I thought I'd come up here and pay you folks a visit. He said, that old man just kind of looked at me, then gestured to a split log that was there on the ground. He said, I went over and I sat down, and he said, that old man came over and sat with me. He said, I began to talk to him. What are you planting in this new ground? He told me. He said, we'd visited for a few minutes, and he said, then I could tell. He was getting a bit fidgety, wanted to get back to what he had been doing before I had arrived. He said, so I got up and I said, well, Brother George, he said, I'm going to be on my way. You got things you want to do and I got people I need to see. So I think I'll be on my way. But before I go, if it's all right with you, I think I'll have a word of prayer. He said, I grabbed his hand and I started praying for him. And he said, in that moment, the Shekinah glory of God settled down on the side of that little hillside scene. And he said, you could feel the presence of God. He said, when I finished praying, that old man wouldn't let go of my hand. And he looked at me, he said, I appreciate that, preacher. You know, preacher, you're the only preacher that's ever come up here to see us. Preacher, you prayed for me like I was kinfolk. I appreciate that. He said, then he surprised me. He said, preacher, Brother Church, you have time to stay and have noon vittles with us, he said. And John Church said, I couldn't believe my ears. I said, well, I guess I do. He said, he walked with me back up the side of that mountain to where his wife, her name was Lizzie, was still sitting there on the porch quilting. And he said, he spoke rather gruffly to her and said, woman, this is Brother Church. He's the pastor of the Methodist Church. He's come up here to pay us a visit. He's going to stay for lunch. Get in there and fix something. Put it on the table and be quick about it. He's going to stay for lunch today. He said she didn't say a word. Just put her quilting down, went in the house. And he said we sat out on the front porch of that little cabin. There were children playing in the yard. And he began to tell me about his life. I had been in the federal penitentiary for things he had done. He said, Brother Church, I've been a mean man. I've been a wicked man. He said, that you see that child over there? It's a product of my first marriage. See that child over there? That's a product of my wife's first marriage. Those two over there belong to us. He said, he just told me all about his life. He said, after a little while, Lizzie, his wife, came back to the door and said, it's on the table. If you want it, you can come and get it. He said, we got up and went inside, and He said, it wasn't a big table. He said, there were just two chairs there. He said, so George gestured for me to sit at this end, and he went down and sat at that end. Kids stood around the table, and Lizzie was over there with her apron on. And he said, nobody asked me to say the blessing, so I just bowed my head and began to pray. He said, and there it was again. That Shekinah glory, that presence of God. He said, when I finished praying, I looked up and old man George had his handkerchief out and he was wiping tears away from his eyes. He said his wife Lizzie had her apron up to her face and she was dabbing tears from the corners of her eyes. And the kids, he said, were standing there with their eyes big as dollar coins trying to figure out what's going on. He said, we had a great meal, great fellowship together. He said, then I finished my meal. And she said, well, I got to be going, Brother George. It's been so good. Thank you so much for the meal, Lizzie. I appreciate it. He said, I started to get up. He said, that man jumped up. His chair went flying behind him. He said, woman, this man's come up here. He's prayed for us like we were kinfolk. We got to let him know how much we appreciate this. He said, go out there in the smokehouse, get one of those hams, get some of those peaches you canned up last week. We got to show him how much we really appreciate this. He said he went and grabbed a great big old burlap sack and put those items in that burlap sack, tied a rope around the neck of it and threw it over his shoulder and walked with me down the side of that mountain where my horse was tied on that tree. And he said, then he helped me saddle my horse. Then he boosted me up on the saddle. And then he said, as I turned that horse to go back down the mountain, he said, that man reached up there with that great big old massive hand of his and put his hand over mine and the horn of that saddle. And he said, Brother Church, don't forget us. Don't forget us. We're awfully bad people up here. Don't forget us. He said, I assured him that I wouldn't forget him. He said, I turned my horse down that path, and I started down the path, and every few steps I'd turn around and I'd see old man George back up there on the trail. He had his hand up in the air like that, and he was saying, don't forget us, Brother Church. Don't forget us, Brother Church. He said, I didn't forget that old man, his wife and kids. He said, the following Sunday, he said, I was at the church closest to where old man George lived. And he said, when I drove up or rode up on the church lawn that day, he said, I looked around at the front yard. First time I'd ever been there, he said, I looked around at the front yard and there was old man George. There was old man George and his wife Lizzie and those kids. He said, old man George had gone out and he had gotten this brand new pair of bib overalls. Tag was still on the button. And he said his wife had gotten this brand new bonnet and dress and the kids' faces were so clean, he said. They shone like new money. And he said, but I didn't go around and greet them. He said, I went around behind the church and I got on my face in a thicket of bushes and said, oh God, oh God, oh God. Help me to say something today that'll get a hold of the heart of that old man and bring him to you. He said, I started preaching that morning. He said, I don't know how those folks felt I was doing. He said, but I felt the anointing of God on that service. He said, I was preaching along. And he said, about halfway through the sermon, old man George was sitting about halfway back on this side with his wife Lizzie and those kids. And he said, I was preaching. And all of a sudden, old man George stood straight up. He said, I thought as I was preaching, oh no, I made him mad. He's going to come down here and knock my block off. He said, instead of doing that, that old man turned around where he was, got on his knees. He didn't just kneel at the pew, he said. He stuck his head all the way under the pew and he stayed there for a while. And then he said, I continued to preach. And about 3/4 of the way through my sermon, he said, that old man came out from under that pew with cobwebs in his hair, but with a glow on his face. And he said, Brother Church, he heard me. He heard me. He heard me. I feel clean inside. He's done the work, Brother Church. He saved me today. He said, that old man got saved. His wife got saved. And were some of the best people I had in that church as long as I stayed at the Shoals Creek Methodist Church. He said, years passed. I went into evangelism, he said. He said, one day we were leaving Winston-Salem, North Carolina on our way to the Midwest to hold revival meetings. And he said, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, honey, we've got some extra time. Let's just drive up into the mountain area around that Shoals Creek charge where we first started our ministry. And let's just reminisce a little bit today. He said, we came into that little community. The dirt roads were now paved streets. And he said, as we were driving into that little community, I looked out ahead of me. He said, I saw an old woman dressed completely in black from head to toe. He said she was all bent over with age, walking with the aid of canes. He said she was just kind of stumbling along. He said, I looked at my wife and said, if I didn't know better and think that she was dead, I think that was Aunt Lizzie, old man George's wife. He said, I drove past her rather slowly and looked back under that sunbonnet. He said, lo and behold, that's exactly who it was. He said, I backed down the road and rolled down the window and said, hello, Lizzie, you know who this is? He said, you'd have thought she'd seen a long-lost son come home from the war. He said, she almost crawled through the window trying to get her arms around my neck. She said, oh, it's Brother Church. It's Brother Church. It's Brother Church. It's Brother Church. He said, we talked and reminisced and caught up a little bit. He said, then it got quiet. And he said, I looked at her and I said, Lizzie, is George still alive? She said, no. He's been gone for quite some time. I said, well, he said, Dr. Church said, I looked at her and said, well, you know, he's getting on up in years when I was your pastor. I figured as much. He said, then, Lizzie said, Brother Church, I remember the night George died. He had been in a stupor, a coma. Her word was stupor. And he said, then just before he passed, he woke up. And he looked up and he said, is that you, Lizzie? Yes, George. It's me, she said. He said, then he took those massive hands. Remember his hands, Brother Church? He took those massive hands and he cupped my face and pulled me down next to his and said, Lizzie, I want you to know I love you. Lizzie, you stuck by me even when I used to cuss at you and treat you so mean. I want to thank you for staying with me all these years. And then she said, Brother Church, he said this, Lizzie, if you ever see Brother Church again, would you tell him this for me? Would you tell him I made it? I made it. And I'll see him in the city. And John Church finished the story by saying, I believe one of these days, when I walk the streets of glory, whatever that's like and however that's going to be, he said, I believe I'll see old man George waving a palm branch to the glory of God. You ask me why it's great? That's why.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.